Hey, we're good. All right. I want cookies and a glass of milk in my snack pack today. Thank you, ladies, for a good job. If you haven't checked in yet today, do that. I left my phone in the back of Mitch Chales' car. He came in, and I thought, boy, it's been a day without my cell phone. It was really kind of nice. You know, I get some emergency notifications from the Department of Natural Resources, especially holiday weekends. None of those were on there. And one of those things that we want you to check in, we want to know where you're at and let your friends know what's happening in the world. And we're going to take a moment today. We're going to read our scripture, if we'll go ahead and put that up, from Ephesians chapter 4, if you'd follow along with me. Beginning of verse 1, Paul writes, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and the Father of all, who is over all and in all." Let's pray together. Father, it's my prayer today that as we encourage your church and your people about spiritual things, that the Spirit of Christ would do his ministry to transform and change hearts, convict people that you may want to do something more in their life than what's going on today. We just ask that he be present and that he honor the reading of the scripture and the words that we talk about today. We offer this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm excited about next Sunday. That day that we talked about where we're going to clear out the roles and everybody's going to get recommitted to the local church. That's exciting to me. As we take an opportunity to ask you, are you all in? Are you going to stand with us as leadership and as a fellowship in Brazil, Indiana, to say, I'm going to do what God wants me to do? And that's exciting to me. And you know what's interesting? It's all about making a fresh start, a new beginning, a new opportunity. But I got thinking about it over the last couple weeks, and I thought, you know, it's a lot like old-time revivals. Now, I see a few people with hair like mine or less out in the audience, and you know, I go back to the days when churches had revivals. Would you believe this, kids? Sometimes 5 and 7 nights in a row you went to church. Now, this was before cable TV. We only had 2, 10, and Channel 4 out of Bloomington. But you go to church 4 or 5 nights a week, and they bring in some hot dog preacher, and he would just give you his best. Have good music. Just an exciting time. You know, but life was a little different then. There weren't all the activities on the weekend. If something started, it usually started afternoon on Sunday. But when you think about those, I have good memories. Because when you get a bunch of people together, things happen. Now, this takes you back to Washington Street to the real First Christian Church of Brazil, okay? We had a guy named J.B. Smith who came to preach. He and his wife Gladys, they were the revival team. And this is before air conditioning. You believe going to church and didn't have air conditioning? Well, J.B. was the kind of guy that if you were a child or a teenager and you weren't paying attention, he would call you out in the crowd. Well, one of the boys, and I won't mention his name, he's a few years older than myself, slipped into his mother's purse, got her compact out. About 11:30 at the old church, the sun would start shining in the south window. And he managed to get that compact in the right position as JB was preaching, and he blinded him and then shut it up. Like to drove the old guy nuts. You know, and I look back and I said, boy, that kid was really neat. He made the best of a bad opportunity. Okay. And I think of other funny things. We went to sing when I used to travel and sing. We did a revival, a little church over in Terre Haute, a little family church. And they just basically, they had air conditioning in the 70s. And their lights were 600-watt bulbs that hung down on a, just with a socket. That's all they had. And we went, we sang, and we sat down right on the front row. But the front row was like 6 feet from the pulpit. And this fella got up to preach. And the longer he preached, the more he slobbered. And we're looking up in that 600-watt bulb, and we can see the rain coming down. To say the least, the next night, the song evangelist moved to the back row. You know, life was fun. And no matter where you're at, and I want to talk about the positive side of revival. Revival makes a difference in people's lives. When people get challenged spiritually and Christ takes hold, it makes a difference in their life. Probably, and I want to talk about two important revivals that happened to me and things that happened. A guy named Russ Martin was preaching one night at Berea Christian Church, and at the end of the sermon, I went forward and said, I want to give my life to Christ, to be a full-time Christian servant, to preach, make plans to go to college. And that was a transformational moment in my life. And I thought, what other great revival moments have happened in my life? Probably the most memorable happened at Center Point United Methodist Church. We were down there doing music for the revival, and Tom Osborne was preaching. In fact, Dolly Parton has a song written about Preacher Tom. And at the end of the service, he preached about the lady who anointed Jesus with the pure nard. And I kept noticing this great big box sitting on the stage. At the end of the service, he opened the box, and it was full of daisies. And he said, go to everyone. He listed different things that people had done. If someone here has given you something out of generosity, present them with a daisy. If someone here has shown you exceptional love, go give them a daisy. And it was so neat to see that church come to life because people were telling each other, we love you and thank you. And boy, it was a transformational moment in my life. That's what we hope next Sunday is for all of us. A moment where Christ, in a very special way, and His Spirit moves within our fellowship to transform our lives. You know, maybe you've been sitting here for an extended period of time and you've never really been challenged to accept Christ as your Savior. Today's the day to do it. But next Sunday may be the day. Or you've been visiting here for an extended period of time, and you come in and you worship, and you love everything that we're doing. It's time to get on board and say, I'm all in. I want to be part of a church that's making a difference in Brazil, Indiana, one life at a time. Maybe you're a person that's got sidetracked on your spiritual journey. That's one of the things about revivals. It calls people to recommit themselves to the Lord. Maybe you need to do that. Say, I want to get honest with people about where I am in life. Because we are a church, we're in this together. We're in this together. And that's what we want to go on today. We're going to talk about some of the things that we're together in. Some of them are kind of rehitting some points over the last 5 weeks. But it's preparing you that next Sunday, when it comes to decision time, and you have an opportunity for you to say, I'm all in. I'm committed to Jesus. I'm committed to First Christian Church in Brazil. I'm committed to what their mission and their ministry is in our community. First of all, we're together in our faith. Now, that's what's interesting about the Christian church. In the early 1800s, we came out of the hills of Kentucky, and people got tired of being run by a denomination. They said, let's just get together and be Christians. And they had some wonderful watchwords that I have written in your outline. It says, where the Bible speaks, we speak, and where the Bible is silent, we're silent. What's he saying? He says, if the Bible says it, we're going to do it. If the Bible doesn't say it, we're not going to do it. We're going to take the Bible alone as our word of faith. They came out and they also said some other things. An essential unity, an opinion liberality, and in all things love. Now, what are essentials? That's the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the inerrancy of the Scriptures. Those are essentials. An opinion liberality. Well, do I want mauve carpet or I don't want chartreuse carpet? That's an opinion. Says you, everybody can have opinions, liberality. But he says, no matter what it is, you have to love each other. You have to be committed, whether you like green carpet or whether you like mauve carpet. You have to be committed to love one another and care for one another. Jesus wants us to be a united force for him. He said about his believers in John chapter 17, verse 20, he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. You know, when we're united, the world takes notice. When the church gets together and gets behind something, the world takes notice. If we went back to my days at Union Christian Church, the days after the tornado leveled our worship area, we got together and we did something with God's help that people took notice of. In fact, you would go introduce yourself to someone and, oh, you're the church the tornado blew away. They saw something in the unity that some saw as a tragic event brought to our church. The same way here, when we all spread out with orange shirts on back in April and we went out here in the neighborhood and we united our efforts, the world takes notice. And that's what happens when we as a church get behind our faith. When we gather together in our faith and we push forward as a body of Christ. You say, what's our faith? I looked on our website and you can look them up and they go a little bit more depth. We need to agree on these pillars of our faith. The core of what we believe. We believe the Bible. Let me tell you what, that gets us in trouble. The world believes in situation ethics. What's right for the moment? There are no absolutes with that, and we have absolutes written out. Every once in a while, somebody will say, I don't like what you have to say about that. I say, don't be mad at me. Be mad at God, just like little Sally. He wrote the book. I didn't write it. He wrote the rules. We go against the world. You know, the second thing is to make a desire to have God as the center of your life. I can talk about my child. She's here today. Our youngest child, from time to time, would be greeted with these words. I should have her get up and quote these words. In spite of what you think, the world does not revolve around you. We as Christians need to develop a lifestyle that our world revolves around our commitment to Christ. Our commitment to Christ. God is the center of not just my life, but your life. Third thing, seek God's will in everything you do. That's important. God is concerned about where you're going and what you're doing in life. He wants you to do things in your life that honor Him. I had a gentleman who's CEO of Lutheran Hospital in Fort Wayne, who was a young man who grew up at Union Christian Church. And I heard that he had a TV interview, and a couple people sent it to me. And in the interview, he says, you know, I wanted to do God's will in my life. I called Mark Grayless, and I asked him to pray for me about making this career decision in my life. Wow. You know, even though he has the dream job of his life, he still wanted to be in a position to do God's will in his life. Connecting with the Christian community through relationships. We'll go into that a whole lot more a little bit later. Sharing our personal journey, where we come from, what Christ did for us, what he's doing for us right now, and what we hope Christ does through us in the future. That's an easy way to explain that. and doing everything possible to reach people. We're going to share more about that in just a few minutes. But we need to be together in our faith. Because we need to realize that we live in a world where everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone needs a Savior. Everyone needs Jesus. So we need to be together on the things about faith and say, these are the essentials. That Jesus died for us, and He's the Savior of the world, and the whole world needs to know Him. So let's go on. Let's talk about being together for each other. That's the next point. For each other. He says in chapter 4, verse 2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. What a great place to be. It's being part of God's family. Because we're concerned about people and what's happening about their life. That's why we as brothers and sisters help and pray and serve one another. Now, a lot of people walk in First Christian Church in Brazil. Boy, that's a big church. You can imagine, I've been working on 600 and some names this year. Some of you, I've asked your name several times. Don't be frustrated with me. There's one of me and 600 and some of you, okay? And my Rolodex is still trying to transpose names from where I've been in the past. But how do I do it? How do I take this group of people and break it down where I build relationships that are meaningful to me and meaningful to other people within our fellowship? Christian Education Hour. That's a great opportunity to break 300 people down to 10 to 20 people and sit down next to someone and hear their story and hear what their life's all about. Get involved in a small group. Be a greeter. That's one of the things we've been encouraging our visitors to. Hey, would you like to be a greeter? Man, we'll put a sticker on your chest, give you a little bit of instruction, says smile and tell everybody you're happy you're here. Something that simple. We're getting ready to do tables of eight again. Go with our lunch bunch. Now, I want to share this with you because it's coming up in January. We are doing the very first marriage enrichment retreat for couples here at church. It'll be on Friday and Saturday, January 20th and 21st at Turkey Run. I've done several of these over the years, and what's neat is we see some of the neatest relationships come out of people who spend 18 hours with each other, eating breakfast and lunch together and playing games and being in a class together. Those are ways to break us down so that you become part of the togetherness of First Christian Church. You know, we're together for folks. We don't give up on folks. We're like that sheep that went out to 99 and the one was missing. We're always working to keep people involved. We learn how to serve one another too. I'm so excited when I go visit someone at the hospital or at the funeral home or run across somebody and they said, you know, so-and-so from church stopped in to see me. I'm going, cha-ching, somebody's got it right. It's not just Mark. It's not just Chris. It's all of us working together to build togetherness in the body. But we all need to work together. That's the important thing. Paul talks about unity there in that passage. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we're baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. You see, we're a bunch of different pieces put together in the church. And you might think, oh, I'm not important. I have a friend who lost his big toe in a farming accident. You know what he has to do? He has to have special shoes because his ugly old big toe throws off his balance. That's how important that thing is to that. And that's what we want to share with you. You are important to the body of Christ. Getting involved. I hope that we can develop something called synergy. You say, what's synergy? It's when people get lively and active. Now, Friday night, Mitch and I went to see the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. Mr. Bojangles. And what was neat, I'm 62 and I was one of the younger people there. And they began to play music, these mid-70s guys, and they still had it. They could make it click and they could make it work. And I looked out over the crowd, and here were all these old people going. And they were going. And I thought, man, they must all be Pentecostals. They don't go to our church. But there was that synergy that came when people got focused and they got involved emotionally with what was going on around them. And that's something I want to share with you, how important it can be. That when we work together, God can do great things that are unimaginable. Someone wrote a few years ago, and this is very true, at the Calgary Stampede, the great big rodeo in Calgary, Canada. One of the first things that happens is they do horse pulls. And so two horses pulled singly, and both the first place and the second place horse pulled a little between 8,000 and 9,000 pounds. And somebody says, what can you pull if we hook them together? Well, you know, most of us have passed math and we go 8 and 9, that's 17,000 pounds. You know what they pulled? 27,000 pounds when they worked together. That's what happens when God's people work together with their life. Now, I want to share the kids are all in here today. So when I realized that, I was over in my office after Sunday school, and I want to share a story for our kids about how working together can make things strong. This started out as a single strand of baling twine. And when I worked at the newspaper, we could take twine and we could break it with our hands. We used baling twine in a box to wrap papers to ship out. You could do that. And one of the guys says, my co-dean at the camp says, we're going to make rope. So he comes out with a roll of baling twine, and it took 6 of us to do it. He says he hooked the rope on this little homemade machine, and we worked, and it took a long time to make a 6 or 8 foot rope. But we worked together with it. One piece could be broken. I realized how strong it was. We had one youngster with us that weighed well over 300 pounds, and he took his rope and made a swing like this on a tree, and it held him. One just like this. So that's what we need to do as a Christian. When we get wound and bound together, we become so strong that the devil can't hold us back, and God can do wonderfully great things through our fellowship. So we are better together than we are standing alone. So I want to encourage you, pursue togetherness. The third thing is we're together in our mission. That's our goal as a church. What do we say? Leading people home. I can at least get the first line right, okay? We're leading people home to Jesus as Lord and Savior. We need to pursue that as our number one goal. You say, how important is that, Mark? I do between 20 and 25 funerals a year. Have a few funeral directors in Terre Haute call me regularly, a couple over here. And they'll call me up and they'll say, Mark, I need for you to help me out with the funeral. This family doesn't have a pastor or doesn't know a pastor. What's that telling me? Number one, they aren't connected to a church anywhere. And number two, they're probably not under the blood and grace and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And you know what? That's happening every day in our community. Our work isn't done when every seat in this room is filled and we go to a third service or a fourth service, because people are dying without Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. That's our mission. Not just to build and sustain buildings, not just to have great programming for our kids, not just to have fantastic music and all those other things. Our mission, number one thing, is to tell people the story of Jesus Christ and let them know Him as Lord and Savior of their life. Jesus tells us that. He says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I'm with you to the very end of the age. We want you to be together. Be committed to what we believe as the pillars of faith. To be committed to each other. And that's so neat at times. Like this last week, we had a funeral dinner here at church, and it was neat to see our people come together and serve someone else. We need to be together, building solid relationships with people within God's family. And we need to be true to the gospel. Here's a sad fact among most of us. Most of us have never made a public commitment to Jesus Christ in decades. You know, those of you who are new Christians, most of you have never stood up and said, after your initial conversion, this is what I want God to do in my life. You've never rededicated. You've never taken an extra step of faith that you asked the church to pray for you for. That's one of the other things. Many people don't even come down and ask us to pray for them. They feel like that's showing weakness. No, it's showing I need the help of my brothers and sisters, and I need the help of God. So I want to challenge you. As we prepare to become part of a new start, to jump in with both feet, jump in with your heart and your faith, because when we get together and we get intertwined, God can do even greater things than He's done in the past, He's doing today, and He can promise to do in the future. In your life, first of all, and in the life of First Christian Church. Let's pray together. Lord, it's my prayer today that Your Spirit empower and enable us to be the people You want us to be. As we look forward to next Sunday, there are people who are going to contemplate whether they're going to accept Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, whether they're going to say, I'm all in and I'm committed, or whether they're maybe going to rededicate or join our fellowship. But you know what? They don't have to wait till next week. The Spirit is speaking to their hearts right now. Maybe that person who's been shy about stepping out for the Lord, it's their opportunity. It's my prayer today that Your Spirit would do His work with what we've had to say from Your Word and from our experiences in life. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.